Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Nadi Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Nadi Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanatadi Yamuna Tira Vanatari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad Netai Gona Haribo, 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 Netai Gona Hariba
Srila Prabhupada ki, Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to simple devotees. All glories to simple devotees. All glories to simple devotees. All glories to Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga. Okay. Thank you all for joining us this morning. We'll be reading from Granth Raj's Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Today's chapter 13, text 54. Okay, 55. Okay, 56 is on the board. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya I'll read text 55. Evam sakrid darshadya parabrahmatmano kilan yasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati sacharacharam. Translation, thus Lord Brahma saw the Supreme Brahman, by whose energy this entire universe, with its moving and non-moving living beings, is manifested. He also saw at the same time all the calves and boys as the Lord's expansions. Purport. By this incident, Lord Brahma was able to see how Krishna maintains the entire universe in different ways. It's because Krishna manifests everything that everything is visible. Text 56. Tato Atikutuka Udvritya Stimita Ekadasha Indriya. So that's that next word. I just did that to help us understand it. Tato tikutu kudvritya. Tato tikutu kudvritya. Stimitaika deshendriya. Stimit aika deshendriya. Tadhamna Buddha Jastushnim. Tadhamna Buddha Jastushnim. Purdevanti Vaputrika. Purdevanti Vaputrika. Tato tikutu dobritya stimitaika deshendriya tadhamna buddha jastushnim purdevyanti vaputrika. Please chant. Then, you ready? Ati kutula udvritya stimita ekadasha indriya. Whose 11 senses had all been jolted by great astonishment and then stunned by transcendental bliss. Tadhamna, by the effulgence of those Vishnu Murtis, Abhut became Aja, Lord Brahma, Tushnim, silent, Pu Devi Anti, in the presence of a village deity, Gramya Devata, Eva, just as Putrika, a clay doll, made by a child. Translation purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Then, by the power of the effulgence of those Vishnu Murtis, Lord Brahma, his 11 senses jolted by astonishment and stunned by transcendental bliss, became silent, just like a child's clay doll in the presence of the village deity. Please repeat. Then, by the power of the effulgence of those Vishnu Murtis, Lord Brahma, his 11 senses jolted by astonishment and stunned by transcendental bliss, became silent, just like a child's clay doll in the presence of the village deity. Purport. Brahma was stunned because of transcendental bliss, muhyanti yat suraya. In his astonishment, all his senses were stunned, and he was unable to say or do anything. Brahma had considered himself absolute, thinking himself the only powerful deity, but now his pride was subdued, and he again became merely one of the demigods. An important demigod, of course, but a demigod nonetheless. Brahma, therefore, cannot be compared to God, Krishna, or Narayan. It is forbidden to compare Narayan even to demigods like Brahma and Shiva, or to speak of others. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivatai Samadvenaiva Viksheta Saprashandi Bhavedruvam. One who considers demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayan must certainly be considered an offender. We should not equate the demigods with Narayan, for even Sankaracharya has forbidden this. Narayanaya Parovyaktat. Also, as mentioned in the Vedas, Eko Narayana Asin Na Brahma Nishe Neshanaha. In the beginning of creation, there was only the Supreme Personality, Narayan, and there was no existence of Brahma or Shiva. Therefore, one I'll repeat the translation. Then, by the power of the effulgence of those Vishnu Murtis, Lord Brahma, his 11 senses jolted by astonishment and stunned by transcendental bliss, became silent, just like a child's clay doll in the presence of the village deity. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadhamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanan Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then by the power of the effulgence of those Vishnumurtis, Lord Brahma, his 11 senses jolted by astonishment and stunned by transcendental bliss, became silent, just like a child's clay doll in the presence of the village deity. Hare Krishna. Thank you for joining today. We are continuing beautiful Brahma Vimohan Leela. We covered two texts. Text 55 read, thus Lord Brahma saw the Supreme Brahman, by whose energy this entire universe, with its moving and non-moving living beings, is manifested. He also saw at the same time all the calves and boys as the Lord's expansions. And then Lord Brahma becomes stunned with wonder. This very long Sanskrit word. His 11 senses had all been jolted by great astonishment and then stunned by transcendental bliss. By the power of the effulgence of those Vishnumurtis, Lord Brahma, his 11 senses jolted by astonishment and stunned by transcendental bliss, became silent. And there's a beautiful comparison made here. A child's clay doll in the presence of the village deity. So I was considering how, in one sense, we are all clay doll compared to the power of the Supreme Lord. It's a nice analogy if you imagine it, and also it indicates that at that time there was a village deity, the deity that all the people go to see. That is an essential aspect of a community, that there's like a village, the main deity there. And the Prabhupada established that each of these temples, that would be like the village deity. And people would come, they may have deities at their home, but we have the main deity, presiding deity of Chicago, Shishi Kishore Kishori. And the deity is living. The deity is not the statue, it's not a... Prabhupada would sometimes say, don't think this is a picture. And what are we before the deity? We, in this material world, carry many conceptions of our power and our importance. There's a nice statement I was reading in the Nectar of Instruction yesterday. Let's see if I can find it here. Prabhupada writes in the purport to the text 10 of the Nectar of Instruction, one should therefore be eager to understand the science of the soul, Atma-tattva. Unless one comes to the platform of Atma-tattva, by which one understands that the soul, and not the body itself, and not the body is oneself, one remains on the platform of ignorance. So, we were describing, it's explained in the Sri Krishna Samhita that, I'm going to try to weave some of these thoughts together, they're a little bit jumbled in my mind. This first text is explaining how all the calves and cowherd boys were the Lord's expansions, and by whose energy this entire universe is manifested. So our cause of problem in material life is duality, where we see something separate from the absolute truth. That is illusion. Just like someone's dreaming, they're ignorant of the reality. So as long as we are wrapped up in the conception of something separate from Krishna, then we're also dreaming. That doesn't actually exist. And then in this purport, Prabhupada says that in the beginning of creation, there was only the Supreme Personality, Narayan. There was no existence of Brahma or Shiva. This is mentioned in the Chaturshloki verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna mentions, Aham revasam revagre nanyad yat sarasat padam pascharaham yade tachcha yova shisheta sosmiham. O Brahma, whatever you see in existence, in creation, in reality, know that he says that nothing exists without me. Nothing can exist separate from me. So everything existing within Krishna and as an expansion of Krishna's energy. These are the sambandha gyan that we were talking, without which our devotional life, it will remain influenced by these lower modes of nature, because we're still in a material concept of life. And that no matter how much we hear the philosophy, or how much service we do, or even how much chanting we do, if we're maintaining this devoid conception of Atma Tattva, then, as we've mentioned, it's like putting all of our eggs in the wrong basket, or rowing the boat without taking out the anchor. So the Bhagavatam is that yat surayo janma dasya yata nayaditari chascharte shwabhigya swarat teni brahma hridaya adikavi muhyanti yat surya. Even the devas, the demigods, are bewildered by the Lord's potency. And what is that? It's making us think that this material world is the reality. We get so caught up in things that have actually nothing to do with us, nothing to do with the reality. And that's material attachment. That is what is keeping us from Krishna. Absorption in the asat. These are required to root out. Why? To give force to our desire for bhakti. And we were talking the last class a little bit about desire. Desire is essential for devotees. But what desire? Spiritual desire. The whole process of bhakti is develop spiritual desire. By hearing about Krishna, we should awaken spiritual desires. So we emphasize the nose, just like I'm mentioning in this class, not this, not that, neti neti. But that has to always be complemented by what is the positive, what is the anukul, what is favorable, what is to be accepted, and what is to be rejected. So both of these have to go on side by side in order for the healthy development of bhakti. Even the impersonalists or the gyanis, they can bash the material nature. A lot of the classes, they're putting down so much the prospect of material happiness, material enjoyment. No, we have a situation sometimes. We're putting down the material, but if we don't substantiate that with the taste for ananda, transcendental experience, then it's not so exalted, actually. Even the Mayavadis can put down material life. But what we do is we put that down as a tool to awaken transcendental attachment. So, sorry, it's a little distracting here. Thank you. So, to understand that everything is this emanation from Krishna, and then as devotees, when we have this higher conception of spirit, what is actually spiritual, not just what is not material, but what is actually spiritual, then we can try to pursue the path with which Krishna has laid out for each one of us. Krishna is like you're doing an obstacle course, you have different
challenges. You got to jump over this, you got to do that. So Krishna's, each one of us is on that obstacle course, and we all have these different levels that we have to pass. And Krishna's there in each of our life. He's giving us this test, that test. And he's cheering for us, all of the great souls. They're rooting us on. That is our task. So we should always know that we're never outside of Krishna's plan, or where is Krishna in this situation? No, Krishna's right there. He's giving it to us, just what we need, so we can try to come to the next level. And he wants us to awaken that eagerness, that desire. How can I live without Krishna? What is the use of my life if we're not associated with Krishna? This is the mood of the advanced devotees, the real devotees, those who've awakened their love. Why should I go on without knowing Krishna? So this type of desire, and as you mentioned yesterday, that there's simultaneously a feeling of pessimism. Unless one develops a strong pessimistic attitude towards a materialistic way of life, oh, that we need to work on also. It's pessimistic towards material existence. Unless we feel that this material world is actually a bondage, it's a source of encagement for the living entity. It's not a wonderful, wow, it's such a great place. That's the material concept. But Prabhupada also mentions in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 6:8-12, perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease. One should feel very intolerant. This is a very miserable situation. This is a very abominable situation. I don't want to carry on like this. How many lives will I be forced to maintain this burden of material existence? So Krishna maintains the entire universe in different ways because it is an expanded feature of him. Bhumir apo nalo vayu kam mano buddhir evacha. Everything in existence, just as heat and light are emanations of the fire, so the Lord's energy is spread throughout this universe. So that is one point. And this is also concluded here when Prabhupada writes that, therefore, one who at the end of his life remembers Narayan attains the perfection of life. Ante Narayana Smritihi. That's the nice verse. Yogabhya Janmalabha Parapungsang. Ante Narayana Smritihi. Therefore, one who at the end of his life remembers Narayan attains perfection of life. Prabhupada would quote this so often. And we were hearing in honor of Vishwakarma Prabhu. He had a nice memorial here recently. The twins were sharing that this was like one of Vishwakarma's mottos. And say, oh Prabhu, this devotee is doing that and this, and they're doing amazing service and this and that. And I would say, Ante Narayana Smriti. The real test will be at the end of life, if one can remember Krishna. Therefore, one who at the end of his life remembers Narayan attains the perfection of life. So whatever our life, our consciousness is composed of at the time of death, that will be our destination. It's not a random event. It's not a chance event. It is the exact karma of the living entity's consciousness. And that may also mean for practicing devotees. If we are not sufficiently eager or developed in bhakti, our consciousness may well carry us to another sadhaka deha, another body by which we can continue. Srila Prabhupada gave us a formula that how one has to become Krishna conscious. And less than that, we don't expect that the bhakti is a science. It's a very scientific process. And if one who follows the process, they get the goal. But sometimes we have a tendency, perhaps, and especially in religious traditions, there's a tendency for sentimentality, because I'm worshipping, therefore this must happen, you know? So the tendency may be there for sentiment that I'm doing it, so this is guaranteed. No, nothing is guaranteed. Everything will be tested at the moment of death. And our acharyas, all of our disciplic succession, has given that very detailed science and process how one actually enters into the spiritual world. Not that it's a chance event, I throw up a coin. It's a detailed sadhana of how one awakens the love of God, and by dint of the force of bhakti, one enters the spiritual world. So I had been reading a few statements that Prabhupada gave, because there are other conceptions out there. But Prabhupada in his books is quite clear about attaining the goal. Now, if I'll be able to access that is another question. Maybe while I pull that up, I'll see if anyone would like to contribute to this discussion by a comment or question. Very nice verse here. We may have some more to discuss. Hari Shyam Prabhu, if you'd like to.
I was appreciating your point about having the foundation of Sambandha Gyan in your spiritual practice if you want it to bear fruit. And I was also appreciating this element that Prabhupada's bringing out in his purport about the darshan of Krishna combined with the realization of his absoluteness, you know. And that's what's stunning Lord Brahma, because Duryodhana also saw Krishna, but it wasn't combined with knowledge of his absoluteness, so there was no stunning tears in the eyes or anything like that. And then my mind just started thinking about the different instances in the Bhagavatam when the jiva meets God for the first time. I remember particularly in the story of Dhruva, this is brought out very beautifully, and I was just thought I would read that verse where it's, you know, Dhruva has his first darshan of the supreme absolute truth combined with knowledge of his absoluteness, which leads to this stunning moment. It just takes me a second to find it. So here we're both looking up verses. I know it's in the 8th chapter. And that's such a nice verse. Yeah, here we go. Should I read it out?
Yeah, cool.
The form of the Lord, which was brilliant like lightning, and which Dhruva Maharaj, in his mature yogic process, was fully absorbed in meditation, all of a sudden disappeared. Thus, Dhruva was perturbed and his meditation broke. But as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present, just as he had been seeing the Lord in his heart. And when Dhruva Maharaj saw his Lord just in front of him, he was greatly agitated and offered him obeisances and respect. He fell flat before him like a rod and became absorbed in love of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj in ecstasy looked upon the Lord as if he were drinking the Lord with his eyes, kissing the lotus feet of the Lord with his mouth, and embracing the Lord with his arms. Beautiful, huh?
Thank you very much, Rubel. You can go ahead. Or if you... Okay. Okay. Mm. Yeah, let's see here. This is Prabhupada writes from the fourth canto. The root cause of one's association is the mind. This great Krishna conscious movement is the greatest boon to human society because it is teaching everyone to think always of Krishna by executing devotional service. In this way, at the end of life, one may be transferred to the association of Krishna. This is technically called Nitya Lila Pravishta, entering into the planet of Goloka Vrindavan. Bhagavad Gita explains, Bhaktya Mama Vijananchi. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. When one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. After the mind is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, one can enter the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan. To enter the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to understand Krishna. After understanding Krishna as he is, one can become eligible to enter Krishna Loka and associate with him. The mind is the cause of such an exalted position. The mind can also get one a body like those of dogs and hogs. To absorb the mind always in Krishna consciousness is therefore the greatest perfection of human life. So, yes, we have experienced different stages of mind that can be cultivated and the resultant behavior which will follow. So, I'm okay if you want to take your...
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. Bhagavad Thomas, always entertaining for one reason or another. you were mentioning, first of all, forgive me for not organizing my thoughts, so I'll do the best I can. My voice is pretty loud, so I turn down the volume. But anyway, you were mentioning at the time of death, everything is tested. You were mentioning that, emphasizing that point. So one thing that came to mind is in chapter 18, Krishna says, Mamana Baba Ma Bhato Ma Yajima Namaskuru. Always think of me, not just at the time of death. And then he also says in chapter 15, verse 15, Sarvasha Chaham Ridi Sani Vishto Mata Shmitya Gyanam Opaham Sha. The reason you're able to remember me is because of my mercy. So sometimes when we're here, always think of Krishna. We think of that, oh, I'm in control. But Krishna says, why are you able to think of me? Because I'm in control. And so there's a nice pastime of Keshava Kashmiri pastime, where why does, it basically describes why Krishna gives you memory and why he takes memory away. So I love that pastime because Keshava Kashmiri, he approached the proud scholar. He got a benediction from Saraswati. Nobody would be able to defeat you. So naturally, when we get a benediction like that, we walk around very proud and, you know, I'm in control. So then when he approached Chaitanya at his school of scholarship and devotion, Chaitanya was known as a prodigy, 16-year-old prodigy boy who had his own school. So then he debated, let's debate. And but it's described that when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he approached him with such arrogance, such disrespect, such inconsideration. And because of this, when he debated Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord took, obviously you know the pastime, but the Lord took his ability to memorize anything. And that's really one reason why I appreciate about that pastime, is because had Keshava Kashmiri known that was the Supreme Lord, he wouldn't have been so disrespectful. Similarly, when our guru comes in, we're not going to be like Guru Maharaj, you know, I want to get initiated. You should be lucky to have me as a disciple. Can you initiate? You're not going to be very inconsiderate, very disrespectful. But then when we become we may become too familiar with other people in general, with devotees, and we may not consider, why can't I, like Josh Prabhu was mentioning in his other class, why and yesterday in his class, which I appreciated, the point of this, maybe, why don't I have the taste for Hari Katha? And it's usually because I don't have the proper mentality with associating with others, because I don't see them as, you know, you don't have any power. So I kind of like to connect this with this verse, and maybe you could expand on it. In the verse, it mentions, when Lord Brahma saw the power and effulgence of Krishna, he became silent in transcendental bliss, because obviously this person has more power than me, so I remain silent. So sometimes when we see somebody has more power than us, we might become silent, either in transcendental bliss, in awe and veneration, or when we see a bully, we become silent in fear. The principle is that when somebody has more power than us, so my question is that how can we avoid the obstacle that when we have more power than others, or when we think we have more power than others, we could treat them any way we want, and therefore we wonder why, you know, we have no taste for Krishna consciousness. Just like that verse says, there's a nice quote that says, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, it becomes your habit. Watch your habit, it becomes your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Dhyayato vishayam pumsa sangasheshu bhajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha kama krodo bijayate krodha bhagati samoha samoha shriti vibramaha shriti brahmsha buddhinasho buddhinasha pranashati. This verse says everything begins with your contemplation and usually ends in pranashati, a fall down, because you have no regard for others other than the people you think are more powerful than you. So my question is what are some steps we could take to before Krishna? Like I said, the same question I have, because we see just like 2 days ago, you know, the situation didn't have to escalate like that. If we respect others, you know, we think we could put our hands on anyone. But if it was a huge 6'1" black guy, we'll just wait for the police. But nice 5'2" small African American woman with two kids who's very nice, and then full on brawl. So what are some steps we could take to not just be, you know, before Krishna gives us a reaction? How can we go to the deities and always apologize for our outrages against others? And how can we not always justify our actions? You know, I'm a Vaishnava. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if I think I'm a Vaishnava, I will certainly look forward to respect from others. And if the desire for fame and reputation pollutes my heart, certainly I should go to hell. And so we see that it goes all the time. So that's essentially my question. And what are some steps we could always go to the deities every day? Lord Krishna, I'm an aparati every day. I have negative thoughts about people all the time. And like I said, please forgive me. I'll just like to, one thing that came to mind was one last quote of Buddha. He says, even regarding Vaishnavas, we see in so many pastimes, like Indra, he wanted to kill the Brajabasis. Brahma and Shiva wanted to kill Bhrigu Muni. And so there's a nice quote by Buddha. He says, let no man think lightly of evil, saying in his heart, it will not come upon me. Even by the falling of water drops, a water pot is filled. The fool becomes full of evil, even if he gather it little by little. So I'll just like to condense my question to, how can we give up, or how can we take more seriously the drops of thoughts of thinking negatively about others? All people don't hear me. You know, but then when we get in a certain situation where Krishna tests our character, then we act like full animals, complete animals. And we see that in the past.
Okay, all right, I got it.
So, the thing can is you is expand that, on those
yeah,
points,
I'll
please?
Expand.
Thank you.
The thing is that the Vaishnavas are not behaving like animals. We all have conditionings, even as practicing devotees. So you are raising a good point that the key actually to the mercy is humility. And we'll see that in Lord Brahma right here. All of his conception of life is being brought to ashes right before him. His conception of himself, of the universe, of creation, he's being smashed here. We're hearing how he's getting smashed. Simultaneously, he's feeling transcendental bliss. So he becomes very still, very quiet in wonder. That is the essential stage of humility. That Krishna willing, we'll all experience at some point the utter devastating humility of our material existence and how fallen we are. And that is what is required for getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He instructs us, Trinada Pisunichena, Tadori Vasa Hishtina, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhari. Without this conception, or a conception of deep humility, then our chanting will never fructify. One can go on chanting for millions of years, but if we're not avoiding the offenses, and the root of the offenses is this inattention, which is a result of ahamameti, I and mine. So the devastating humility Krishna will orchestrate for us if we're sincere, and that's a big hurdle. It's a big mountain that we'll have to cross at some point. But that's Krishna's mercy, to pull out the rug beneath us and show us what we are. So here is happening to Lord Brahma. That is our aspiration also, that Krishna will do for us, as it is required to appreciate his position. And that actually enables us to perform devotional service. Otherwise, our devotional service is still, it's like a casual, it's like a hobby. I like to do it. But if a deep realization is there, then it's like, I must do it. This is my ontological position, to serve and worship Krishna. And also, Krishna's in the center. We're not in the center. So thank you for bringing this point. He becomes completely stunned. And a beautiful example we mentioned a few times, a child's clay doll in the presence of the deity. So this is the poetry of Shukadeva Goswami giving such a nice example. You can see Brahma's having that, that moment, that realization, that dawning. They say a light bulb went off. And this was Lord Brahma, the supermost intelligent being in the universe, under Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else ask or say anything? I'll wind it down. It's at 8:25. Thank you very much for this attempt. It is my great happiness to be back in Chicago after some time in India, some extended time. I very much miss my family here. And I mentioned that I'm not the most talkative sometimes, or outgoing person. Sometimes people tell me that, but all of the devotees in this community have a very deep place in my heart. I may not be the best at expressing that, but I'm just very happy to be back with all of you, and I look forward to continuing this beautiful section in Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.